The Council acknowledges and pays respects to the Tasmanian Aboriginal community as the traditional owners and custodians of this land on which we live. And now a prayer. May the words of our lips and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Welcome, everybody. I think we have a full meeting tonight. No apologies. So move straight on to 1.1, the confirmation of the minutes. Can I have somebody move that they be confirmed? Thanks, Councillor Viney. Seconded, Councillor Hiscott. Any queries on those minutes? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? The motion is carried. 2.1 is Councillor Workshops. There's been a list there. Can I have somebody move that that report be received, please?
So move, Mayor.
Thanks, Councillor Beswick. Seconder, please. Thanks, Councillor Overton. Any queries on those items, workshop items? I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. 3.1 is Mayor's communications. There are none. 3.2 is the Mayor's diary. There's a list there and also includes the Deputy Mayor. Can I have somebody move that those reports be received, please? Thanks, Councillor Viney. Seconder. Thanks, Councillor Fuller. Any queries on any of those items? Councillor Carpenter, would you like to?
If you don't mind, Mayor, and if I allowed to speak clearly enough, so you all know how to do it tonight. Start off. Mayor, it's interesting, the Beyond Blue at the West Alveston Footy Club, and I know through the papers in the football season, people that follow football would say that football's a dying thing and teams are getting beat by 400 points and all this sort of stuff and everything else. For those that attended the function out at the West Alveston Footy Club for Beyond Blue and see a small community-based club raise over $2,000 in supposedly a socio-economic area that's not as privileged as the rest is unbelievable. So I'm going to use this just a couple of minutes or a couple of seconds, Mayor, in that whenever we make decisions about community groups, community grounds, community sporting facilities, that we've got to always look past the immediate results of today. Because once we close things and do something else, they will never come back. If your community grows, we've lost that area for good. So that was a real eye-opener to be there and see this band of people get together and raise money for public good to donate and not keep themselves was incredible. And they deserve a real pat on the back for that, Mayor, they really do. And if you've ever got a country game and go in and have a beer, suggest you take the time to do so and see how many people do follow these clubs that mightn't have anything to do if we ever think of closing too many of them down. Or they amalgamate. Sorry, I'll retract that statement. Not that we think of that might happen. So that's that one, Mayor. The Alveston Fire Brigade had a lovely evening with them on their appreciation night. Was moved to Apex House and a beautiful meal and 70-odd people. It just shows the dedication of these guys and women. They go to sit down for a meal, Mayor, and the pages go off. Off they go on one truck to an incident down the main street somewhere, and they come back after about three-quarters of an hour, sit down again to their plate in front of them, the pages go off again, and off they get and go to an accident up Gawler Road. So once again, community volunteers that go out of their way on bad nights, bad evenings when they've got functions to sit out and enjoy, go out and do the role for us to protect and look after ourselves. And in my little bit of address, I just sort of said we've been very lucky that we haven't had any house fires, and then the next week the Caprona Footy Club catches on fire. So you never know when they need it and want it. And it's not just fires that they go to, it's everything else in between. And the trauma that some of these people must go through at sometimes, you know, I would never want to be in that place myself. But we're so very fortunate to have a group like the Alveston Fire Brigade volunteers. They're extremely dedicated. And when someone there 40 plus years in the Fire Brigade, unbelievable group, and do a lot of good in our community with donations and stuff like that also. So I had a couple of good evenings, Mayor.
Carpenter. I think some people in our community probably don't realise that all of our firefighters here are volunteers. We don't have any full-time. I would just like to comment on the Local Government Association conference and the fact that we had a good, strong contingent of our councillors and staff go to that conference, and how good it is to be able to get together again with fellow local government people and listen to some excellent guest speakers, and I find it really valuable. If there's no more comment, questions, I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? The motion is carried. 3.3 is declarations of interest. Anybody wishing to declare? Councillor Fuller.
Thank you, Mayor. I declare an interest in 10.8.
No other declarations. 4.1 is councillor reports. Any councillors wishing to report on community or other organisations? Councillor Fuller.
Thank you, Mayor. If I may, again, not groups that any councillor is formally appointed to, but groups that are vital to, as the Deputy Mayor said, vital to the vibrancy of our community. I was pleased to attend the Penguin 7-Day Makeover Group annual general meeting on the 3rd of August and congratulate that committee there for all of the work that they've done. They were able to fill all their committee spots with their incoming executive and committee members, and once again Libby Burton was re-elected as the president of that group, and they certainly have had a lot to celebrate. Despite the Tidy Town Awards in Victoria situation changing, they're still making plans for how they can celebrate it, albeit from Central Coast to instead of Beechworth. Likewise, the members of the Penguin History Group held their annual general meeting on the 10th of August. President Craig Dunham was re-elected, and once again, good attendance at the AGM, and all of their committee positions were filled. So that's fabulous that nobody seems to be struggling for good, hard-working volunteers. So they're doing some great work there as well, and look forward to working with the Ulverston group as part of the Hive development. So thank you.
Councillor Diprose.
Mayor, I'd just like to acknowledge the passing of long-term resident Steve Daly on the 7th of August. Steve, as many of you know, has been an MC at many sports carnivals, Thunder basketball games, the Burnie 10 and the Devonport Regatta over 40 years. He was the president of the Devonport Athletics Club and Devonport Football Club. He had 38 actually, as CEO of Devonfield, which has been has had a big impact on what our residents with disabilities have and have not been able to do. Devonfield has played a big role in making those who attend there feel appreciated and worthy members of our community, and they certainly are. In 2018, Steve was made the life member of the Sports Carnival Association of Tasmania, and the men's wheel race at the Hobart Carnival was named after him. He was a former Tasmanian State Committee member of the National Disability Services, and in 2006, Steve received the Medal of the Order of Australia for services to the community through organisations providing care, support and rehab for people with disabilities and their carers, and also for his volunteering time with many sporting groups. And I'd just like to pass on our condolences to his wife Karen and their family, and you know, it's certainly great to remember Steve not only as a friend but as someone who brightened up the place wherever he was, and whenever he definitely had a microphone in his hand. So I would also then like to acknowledge the fantastic effort in awards that were picked up by Central Coast residents on Saturday night from the Surf Life Saving Tasmania Awards of Excellence. Congratulations to Dean Dunham of Penguin, who got Surf Lifesaver of the Year. Penguin also got received Team of the Year with their under-23 boat crew, which is a fantastic feat. Also, congratulations to Ulverston's Murphy Knowles, who received AMPOL Youth Lifesaver of the Year. Also from Ulverston, Oceana Eustace, Junior Lifesaver of the Year. Our very own wonderful Liz Eustace, Official of the Year. And also want to acknowledge young Phoebe Woodhouse, who, even though she is with Bernie now, is one of our residents and got Youth Athlete of the Year. So very, very safe beaches on the northwest coast. And yeah, and thanks to these wonderful people and their clubs and all the support that's been given throughout the time. Congratulations to all.
Councillor Hiscott.
Yes, to add further, I was also going to congratulate the Penguin Surf Life Saving members, which Amanda's mentioned, but also acknowledge Ken Knight, who has presented his Surf Life Saving Australia Life membership as well. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. Any other reports? Right. 5.1 is leave of absence, and there are no applications. 6.1 is deputations. There are none. 7.1 is petitions. There are no petitions. 8.1 is councillor questions without notice. So start, Councillor Van Rooyen. Do you have any? Councillor Beswick?
I've one for the Director of Infrastructure Services. Thanks, Mayor.
Councillor Diprose?
No, Mayor.
Councillor Viney?
No, thanks, Mayor.
Councillor Overton?
No, thank you, Mayor.
Councillor Fuller?
No, thank you, Mayor.
Councillor Hiscott?
No, thank you, Mayor.
Councillor Carpenter?
No, thanks, Mayor.
And none for myself. Point two is councillor questions on notice, and no questions have been received. 9.1 is public question time. We've received 5 submissions for public question time, and that will be at about 6:40 or as soon as practicable. 9.2, public questions taken on notice, and there were no public questions taken on notice from our July meeting. Move on to 10.1, minutes and notes of committees of the council and other organisations. Can I have somebody move that be received, please?
Move, Mayor.
Thanks, Councillor Diprose, seconded Councillor Fuller. Any queries on those minutes? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. 10.2 is correspondence addressed to Mayor and councillors. That's the schedule there. Can I have somebody move that that be received, please? Thanks, Councillor Viney. Seconded, Councillor Beswick. Any queries on that correspondence? I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. 10.3 is the common seal. I think you have an updated schedule there in front of you. Can I have somebody move that that be received, please?
So move.
Thanks, Councillor Carpenter. A seconder, please. Councillor Hiscott. Any queries on those items on the common seal? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? The motion is carried. 10.4 is contracts and agreements. There's a schedule there. Can I have somebody move that that be received, please?
So move, Mayor.
Thanks, Councillor Beswick. A seconder. Thanks, Councillor Viney. Any queries? I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? The motion is carried. 10.5 is Council acting as a planning authority. Can I have somebody move that that be received, please? Thanks, Councillor Fuller. Seconder, Councillor Beswick. I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? The motion is carried. 10.6 is a community meeting and entertainment advertising third-party billboard sign at 41 Clayton Road, Ulverston. There's a report there. Can I have somebody move the suggested resolution? Thanks, Councillor Fuller. Seconded, Councillor Carpenter. Councillor Fuller.
Thank you, Mayor. It's a comprehensive report, so it makes us very, very clear to us there why the planning staff have not recommended this application for approval. Obviously, we have, you know, a very specific type of landscape and environment, and that we really want to maintain. And obviously there's also the issue of the safety of people using the highway, and we need to be mindful of things that can distract and add to their burden as well. So nothing really to add other than the fact that I personally, and having been there recently and used their facilities, certainly appreciate the great work that Camp Clayton do in our community and for our community, and the services that they provide, and certainly do want folks to know that they are there and that their facilities are available for use and hire and access. But obviously, in line with the report, not able to support this application as it stands.
Any other speakers?
Mayor,
Councillor Carpenter.
Thanks, Mayor. I totally concur with Councillor Fuller, and it's an application where, again, if they was only advertising their own resources there and on a smaller sign that fitted the criteria, it would have went in. But I think we have got to really look at the aesthetics of the side of our highways. And if you look at signs that are, you know, it's going to be 12 metres by 4 or 5, 3 metres and a metre up off the ground, that's a big obstruction to the motorist looking at it, and basically for third-party advertising. I do feel for businesses that want to advertise when they can on some of their private land or land that, you know, they can get this advertising in signs. But I also believe that there is the opportunity there to fit the criteria with the right size sign. So I don't think this is a, you know, people shouldn't look at this and say we're anti this and anti that, because this is, the report doesn't say that. If it met the criteria, it could have been accepted. And I think we should always remain with that. And I totally agree with the officer's reports here, Mayor.
Speakers. Councillor Beswick.
Yeah, thanks, Mayor. I concur with the other councillors' points of view. We do need to make sure that as a community we don't end up have basically billboards along our highway from Heybridge through to Forth. So I concur with the planner's extensive report that they've done there. I also understand why organisations these days are trying to generate some more income, because finances for any basically a not-for-profit business, I can see the reasoning behind what they're trying to achieve. But as Councillor Fuller said, I applaud all the work that they do and the facilities they supply there to our community. They've been there for many years, and perhaps it may be able to be reworked that might fit in and work with the planners to come up with perhaps another solution. Thanks, Mayor.
Speakers.
Yes, Mayor. Basically, I agree with the other speakers as well insofar as advertising on the roadside is concerned. I do think it's fair that Camp Clayton have a sign to advertise their facilities and let people know what actually happens there. My problem is with an additional sign advertising, well, could be anything. Mind you, other municipalities are much more relaxed than what we are. I mean, if you have a look, the area between Latrobe and Sassafras, there are numerous large signs there, right on the highway, advertising all sorts. So I don't want to discourage Camp Clayton from having a sign, but I do think it should be just their own, and maybe a little bit smaller than what it is.
Any other speakers? Councillor Fuller, would you like to close?
Thank you, Mayor.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. Move on to 10.7, which is resource development subdivision, excision of a dwelling and consolidation of titles at 862 South Ryanna Road and South Ryanna Road. Oh. Can I have somebody move the suggested resolution?
Mayor, I'd like to put forward an alternate motion.
Thank you. Councillor Carpenter.
Trying to get right to the bottom, but anyhow, it doesn't matter.
So you have an alternate resolution in front of you?
Yes, has been circulated, if you would
to
read it out.
Read that out.
that the application for resource development, subdivision, excision of a dwelling and consolidation of titles, subdivision, suitability of a site or lot on a plan of subdivision and location of a development for sensitive use at 862 South Ryanna Road and South Ryanna Road C2250528/1 South Ryanna, application number DA20202239, be approved subject to the following conditions. Condition one, the development must be substantially in accordance with the plan of subdivision by EA Dodds, reference number 20507, dated the 29th of February 2020. Number two, the eastern and northern boundaries of lot one must be planted with screen plants at 4 metre spacings. Plants must have a minimum mature height of 4 metres. Three, prior to the issue of a final plan of survey, the developer is to provide evidence that the vegetation buffer has been planted. And four, the development must be in accordance with the bushfire hazard assessment report and bushfire hazard management plan by Michael Wells, accreditation number BFP-128, certificate number 22004, 5th dated 14th of June 21. Five, prior to the issue of the final plan of survey, the developer must provide evidence that the requirements of the bushfire management plan are satisfied. And by golly, six, the balance of the, you got the numbers, one are to be consolidated by the issue of a new sealed plan, and seven, a part five agreement under section 71 of the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993 is to be registered on the new sealed plan, preventing future residential use on the new consolidated sealed plan. And eight, the execution of the Part 5 agreement, including the drafting and registration of the agreement against the new title, must be at the developer's expense.
Councillor Van Rooyen, you've seconded that motion. Ma'am. Councillor Carpenter, would you like to speak to this?
Mayor, look, I think this is a good outcome for this one. It's not anything in the report. There's nothing wrong with the report. It's just a good outcome for consolidation of rural land in a pristine area where South Ryanna, as resources, is capable of looking after all agricultural aspects plus rural living. We have a beautiful shop up there that's a full supermarket and everything else you want, and post office. So it's not an area where excisions like these should be just say, no, it's not possible. We don't want to subject this land to creating some sort of a subdivision. It's not about that, Mayor. This is about consolidation of a title, which can only be now, with the Part 5 agreement, is protected basically for quite some period of time, where it cannot be split up and sold off in the future years. So even though the house goes to one little title, everything else goes together. And when you look through the report, you would notice that the owners, or the past owner and the current owners, have amalgamated quite a number of properties around their boundaries over the last few years, last decade or so, and not one of the previous owners of that land left the community. They all lived in their houses and still live there today. To me, that's consolidation to the best point, and it's community building. And I think that's what sometimes that we need in our planning scheme. So I put this here for adoption, Mayor. Thank you.
Any other speakers? Councillor Van Rooyen.
Mayor, for a long time I've been concerned about the population drain from our rural areas. It's very disappointing when you see figures of the attendance of the schools in these areas. And I use Sprint as an example, Ryanna and Natone. Gradually we are going to lose services in the country areas because there's just not the population there to sustain them. And this is one thing that we could be doing. Unfortunately, there are restrictions under the PAL policy, and I do agree with the PAL policy, the preservation of agricultural land, but I think we've got to be a bit flexible. And where there's a house such as this that is surplus to requirements because of the amalgamation of farms, then I do believe that they should and could be used for residential purposes. There's a shortage of rental accommodation in towns, as we know. There's a shortage of houses to buy. These houses could easily be used as first for first home buyers, and it would strengthen the community in those areas. And I would fully support Councillor Carpenter in this area.
Any other speakers? Councillor Beswick.
Thanks, Mayor. I thank Councillor Carpenter for working with the staff for bringing this alternate motion. Having known this area, we built the house that's actually being excised about 12 years ago. I see this as a compromise to be able to make the farm a little bit larger, to be able to be a little bit more profitable in the longer term and not perhaps have any other issues in the future. I also agree with Councillor Van Rooyen as far as creating a village. This house is only about 880, 900 metres from the shop. And there's probably a dozen or 15 houses within about a radius of that of the shop. So it creates community. And I think we need to encourage, not necessarily encourage, but be a little bit flexible when these sort of options come up, especially when it's in a hub of what is basically a village area and not just out in the middle between two village spaces, basically. Like even for staff that are working on adjacent farms and the community feel, as I mentioned before. So I'll be supporting the motion, and I thank the staff for working with Councillor Carpenter to come up with this resolution. Thank you.
Councillor Viney.
I'd like to first of all thank Councillor Carpenter for his alternate motion. As I see it, it's a win-win situation. It's helping the community and sustaining the people in the community, but also sustaining the agricultural land in that community. And saying I'm supporting the motion. Thank you.
Speakers? Councillor Carpenter, would you like to close?
Just for a second, Mayor, if I may. Really interesting to hear the council's thoughts on a village and a community, and this is something I'm fairly passionate about, that we do try and keep them resources in these areas, in these community areas, in these country areas. Big's not always better, and I think that used to be a catch cry back when I went to school. You had to go to the bigger school to get the best education, and I'll stand in front of anybody and say that's never really always true. So I think the more adaptable we can be as councillors and council and planning staff, the more thought that we put into how these communities can operate and coexist with our major centres is very important. And this is an outcome. And I do thank the planners for working on this to get this outcome, because they're in a very important regions. And nobody wants to go in and sell houses, build houses and sell them off, and build houses and sell them off. We're not subdividers. We're farmers, but we want a community and we want a village. Thanks, Mayor.
Motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. Move on to 10.8. Councillor Fuller. This is a residential subdivision, four lots. Suitability of a site or lot for use or development at 170 Main Road and 25 Bowman Drive, Penguin. Can I have somebody move the suggested resolution, please? Thanks, Councillor Carpenter. A seconder, please.
Second that, Mayor.
Councillor Beswick. Councillor Carpenter, would you like to speak to this?
Only very briefly on this one again, Mayor, because I think this is straightforward, and I think the planners have done a wonderful job in putting this report in there. Never realised there was so much ground just down over the bank. And I've often drove around Bowman Drive, around that subdivision since it's been going ahead, just to see how many is going through and the style of houses that are getting built there and the internal lots that now are in beyond the front rows and all that. It's becoming a beautiful little place to live in. Great styles of houses. And I suppose if you're fortunate enough to be able to acquire one of these blocks, if it goes through tonight, Mayor, what a place to live. Sitting down there looking out over the lot. And it really can only come through from Bowman Drive. If you drive up from Main Street, I don't think that would ever be suitable for access points up into them blocks. So I understand the representor in what they say, but living in town, Mayor. It's living in town, you're buying a block, and the owners must have kept that block originally for this purpose down the track. So fully endorse the report, Mayor.
speakers. Councillor Hiscott.
Yeah, thank you. Concurring with Councillor Carpenter, it, it's an area that often had a look through, and for the same thing, it has been a nice up and coming area there to have a walk around and see what's going on, and went for a drive there in my lunch break one day and another good look at it, and I agree with that statement that it is the best access to that area, and we continually talk about the amount of housing in Penguin and surrounds, and to provide another property for more houses to be built can only be a good thing. So thank you.
Any other speakers? Councillor Carpenter, would you like to close?
No need to, Mayor. Thank you.
The motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Aye.
Against? The motion is carried. Councillor Overton, would you like to let Councillor Fuller know that she can come back in, please? Move on to 10.9, expression of interest and standing tenders. Can I have somebody move the suggested resolution, please?
So move, Mayor.
It's Councillor Carpenter, a seconder. Councillor Beswick, thank you. Councillor Carpenter, would you like to speak to this?
Actually, any other speakers?
Councillor Beswick.
I suppose just a brief note, it's good to see us supporting local businesses. I'd like to thank all those that tendered for the supply of various items, and it's great that we got that support from the local community. Thank you.
Speakers? I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? The motion is carried. Councillor Beswick, you had a question for the Director of Infrastructure Services.
Question, Mayor. I noticed in the minutes of the, let me have a look, the Community Safety Action Plan, and let me just try and find my way around the document here, the Central Coast Community Safety Partnership Committee, about lights that was raised by the Chamber of Commerce, about lights at the zebra crossing at the on Crescent Street at our new works down there. It is something that's been raised with me, and after I read that in our minutes last week, I had somebody say to me that they very closely nearly ran into somebody in the rain because of the lighting, and that wasn't there that good. I have had it raised with me before, so I just thought our director may be able to just give us a bit of a brief on where we're at with that.
Shed some light on the situation.
Thanks, Councillor Hiscott.
Councillor Beswick, just by way of update, staff recently met on the site to look at it at night to understand exactly what the problem was and what the best way was to solve the issue. We did have to wait for quite some time for TasNetworks to finish the lighting on the earlier King's Parade project. So now that that's all done, we've had a look at the site. We've come up with the option of putting some bollard lighting around those crossings. We'll be trialling that during the next week, and if that is successful, then we'll implement that as a permanent solution. Thank you.
Thank you.
Move on to corporate services. 10.10 is statutory determinations. There's a schedule there. Can I have somebody move that that be received, please? Thanks, Councillor Viney. Seconded Councillor Hiscott. Any queries on those determinations? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. That brings us to almost to the closure of our meeting to the public, but we do have, we might go to public question time. And we do have five submissions. Did you say there were eight? Five submissions.
Oh, no, there was questions I was talking about.
Oh, okay. So to the General Manager, so I will hand over to you to answer those questions. Thank you.
Right, thank you, Mayor. The first two questions come from Leo and Faye Boerman from Leith. So the first question is, the council letter dated the 21st of September 2016, and enclosure to Reid Hitting MP, Minister for Infrastructure, states there are some 45 recorded accidents at these junctions since 2001, with 9 of them serious, including 2 fatalities. On 19th of July 2021, during public question time, the council stated the council letter to the then minister in 2016 referred to 45 recorded accidents at the junctions. However, it is now clear the number was based on data relating to crashes within the vicinity of the junctions. During a meeting with the Department of State Growth on the 6th of August 2021, it was advised that the Department of State Growth was unable to identify which 45 crashes within the vicinity of the junctions the council referred to in its letter dated the 21st of September 2016 and its enclosure recording, as the council is in possession of and has access to Department of State Growth crash statistics for the Bass Highway between Maxwell Road and Lillico Road for the period January 2001 to 21 September 2016. What are the crash ID numbers, crash dates and locations of all 45 crashes the council refers to in its letter dated 21st of September 2016 and as well as its answer during public questions on 19th of July 2021. As this information is not onerous to provide and is required to continue matters with the Department of State Growth as well as Minister Ferguson. The letter to the now the response is that the letter to the Honourable Reid Hitting MP dated 21st of September 2016 did not refer to the wording some 45 crashes. This was initially provided to the Secretary of the Department of Infrastructure, Energy and Resources in correspondence dated the 11th of December 2013, which was an enclosure to the letter dated 21st of September 2016. I have the list of the ID dates and locations, but due to the number of items, the information will be included in the response to Mr. and Mrs. Bowman, as well as the council minutes. So I didn't want to read the whole 45 out. The second question was, following the council letter dated 21st of September 2016 and enclosure to Reid Hitting MP, Minister for Infrastructure, advising or stating there were some 45 recorded accidents at these junctions since 2001, with 9 of them serious, including 2 fatalities, did the council subsequently receive any advice from then Minister Reid Hitting, then Minister Jeremy Rockliffe, Minister Michael Ferguson, and or the Department of State Growth querying or correcting the council advice and statement? There are some 45 recorded accidents at these junctions since 2001, with 9 of them serious, including 2 fatalities. And if so, what dates are applicable and what is the nature of the document? The answer is no, we never received any further advice. So the next questions come from Tony Downey from Leith. On 21st of September 2016, the council provided a letter and enclosure to the Honourable MT Reid Hitting, Minister for Infrastructure, where the council urged on an overpass at Leith on the basis there are some 45 recorded accidents at these junctions since 2001, with 9 of them serious, including 2 fatalities. How does the council explain why it urged the government to construct an overpass at Leith on the basis of 2 fatalities at these junctions at Leith, which had absolutely nothing to do with either intersection, given the Advocate newspaper reported both as not occurring at either intersection and community knowledge neither occurred at either intersection, as surely the council could not fail to be well aware of or was ignorant of these particular accidents. The response to that is that the council did not urge the government to construct an overpass on the basis of the two fatalities. In its letter, the 11th of December 2013, to the then Secretary, Department of Infrastructure, Energy and Resources, council was urging the state government to consider improvements to the Bass Highway intersection at least, and use the statistics to support the improvement for the safety of both the community and of Bass Highway users at these locations. Council also advised of the potential issues for school buses and other vehicles entering and exiting at the intersections, particularly those turning right, crossing the highway. Safety improvements are not only implemented as a result of past crashes, they are also implemented to be proactive to avoid crashes and, in the worst of crashes, to prevent serious injury and death. The second question is, what systems and safeguards does the council have in situ to analyse and verify crash statistics obtained from or provided by the Department of State Growth? And if the council fails to have systems or safeguards in situ to analyse and verify crash statistics obtained from or provided by the Department of State Growth, what system or safeguards will the council now implement to analyse and verify crash statistics obtained from or provided by the Department of State Growth? The response is that the council does not analyse and or verify the integrity of the crash statistics database, as this is the responsibility, that database, of the Department of State Growth. The next two questions are from Jamie Smith from Leith. The first question is, during public, there's a lot of preamble to these, so I'm sorry if I'm reading the preamble. Next time I won't be reading any of the preamble, I'll go straight into the question, because a lot of the preamble is very similar. During public question time on the 19th of July 2021, the council was asked a question which asked, is it correct there are only 23 recorded accidents involving the intersections of Leith Road, Braddon's Lookout Road with the Bass Highway, or the intersection of Short Street with the Bass Highway, with six of them serious and no fatalities during the period 1 January 2001 to 21 September 2016, as the two fatalities the council refers to did not result from any vehicles using any junction at Leith with the Bass Highway? Or does the council determine other accident information is applicable from the Department of State Growth crash statistics for the accidents at the Leith junctions at the Bass Highway for the period 1 July 2001 to 21 September 2016? And the council response stated, the council letter to the then minister in 2016 referred to 45 recorded accidents at the junctions. However, it is now clear this number was based on data relating to crashes within the vicinity of the junctions. And for clarity, a review of the crash statistics identifies 23 crashes listed as occurring at the intersections of Bass Highway and Short Street and Bass Highway Leith Road. Is it correct that the 23 crashes occurred at the Leith intersections and the Bass Highway for the period 1 January 2001 to 21st of January 2016, the crash statistics and data provided to or processed by council does not list any fatalities at any of the junction intersections at Leith and the Bass Highway? The response is, there are no recorded fatalities in the 23 crashes. at the intersections of Bass Highway with Short Street or Leith Road, Braddon's Lookout Road, in the period 2001 to 2016. As previously stated, safety improvements are not only implemented as a result of past crashes, they are also implemented to be proactive, to avoid crashes, and in the worst of crashes, to prevent serious injury and death. Question two is, what does the council consider or define as being within the vicinity of the junctions, intersections at Leith and the Bass Highway? The response is, in the vicinity has been taken to include the sections between Fourth River Bridge to the west and the Beach Road on ramp to the east. Now the next question is from Tony Miller from Ulverston. As a senior resident who uses his push bike for practical reasons, I regularly shop with my main visits to Coles, Woolworths, Nuthouse and King's Feast. Occasionally I would like to lock my bike at the bicycle rack near the public conveniences in the North Ravy, aka Woolies, car park. Other times, especially in the cooler months, I would walk the bike around with me. I have noticed shopping trolleys encroaching onto space intended for push bike parking, encouraging me to only do the latter, especially in the cooler winter months. I have complained previously, often dismissed with approaches to the supermarkets, made but only non-commitment statements such as we go and collect trolleys on a regular basis are made. Councillor Fuller indicated to me that the North Raby car park was due for an upgrade but with no commitment. I understand that COVID does make it difficult. Will, and if so, when do you expect the upgrade and how can I make an input to these? Please use language that a member of the general public will understand. The response is, the council will be developing plans for the North Raby Street parking area during this financial year. Once the scope of work is determined, a budget will need to be approved by council for works to progress. Please contact council's infrastructure services department to provide any ideas you would like to see included. Now the last public question is from Matthew Turner from Ulverston. Now the two questions are there plans to rebuild their club rooms at the Caprona Football Club Cambridge Recreation Ground? And number two is, do the councillors support rebuilding the club rooms at the Caprona Football Club of the Haybridge Rec? My response is that the council has not met to discuss and consider the implications of the fire at the club rooms last Tuesday night. As such, a response from councillors to the two questions cannot be provided at tonight's meeting. Thank you.
That actually brings that part of our meeting to a close. Did you want to?